Burundi's neighbor to the north, Rwanda, holds elections on Monday. Rwandan President Paul Kagame has ruled since the end of the 1994 genocide, and he's expected to win handily, but the run-up to the vote has been tense. The government's critics accuse it of silencing the opposition by clamping down on the media and jailing, even assassinating, political opponents. The government denies these charges. A few weeks ago, Minnesota law professor Peter Erlander traveled to Rwanda to represent a jailed opposition leader who was accused of denying Rwanda's genocide.
Well, I went to Rwanda to determine whether I could be of help in representing a presidential candidate, Victoire Ingabire, who was a Rwandan expatriate who had returned to Rwanda to stand for the presidency. She had been charged earlier with genocide denial because she suggested that Hutus as well as Tutsis had been victims during the violence that swept Rwanda in 1994. And of course, the description of that violence, called the Rwandan genocide, is described by the Rwandan government itself as a genocide of Tutsis and moderate Hutus, which suggests that both Hutus and Tutsis were killed, which of course was true, but in Rwanda it's not possible to say that. She suggested that there should be monuments to the Hutu victims as well as the Tutsi victims, which is what got her in trouble. And there are no monuments to the Hutu victims in Rwanda. By suggesting that there should be, that caused her to be arrested.
Erlander was then himself arrested and jailed for 3 weeks. He was also accused of genocide denial. He's since been released. Erlander says his ideas about the long history of violence in Rwanda have been shaped by his experience as a defense attorney for the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda.
The client that I was representing was one of the top four military officers in the previous government. And the charges against these officers were that they were engaged in a long-term conspiracy to commit genocide. Because of the documents from the United Nations and from the U.S. government that we got through Freedom of Information Act requests, we put those into the trial record. And those top four military officers, including Colonel Theonis Bagosora, who was supposedly the architect of the genocide, were all acquitted of conspiracy to commit genocide. So what I've done is explain that to the people of the world, and that's what's caused me to be accused of being a genocide denier. What now, I've been doing is explaining the judgment at the Rwanda Tribunal, nothing more.
So do you indeed challenge the government's official version of the 1994 genocide?
When you ask me, am I denying the genocide, if what you mean is, was there massive killing? I agree completely. Was part of that massive killing because people were Tutsis? Of course. Was it based, as far as the military was concerned, based on orders given at the top because people were supposed to be killed by soldiers ordered by the top officers in the military? There's no evidence that that's what happened, according to the court, not according to me.
Well, getting back to what happened to you in May, so when you went mm-hmm. to Rwanda, did you realize that you were at risk of being hauled off to jail?
Well, no, I didn't, because I knew that everything I had done was connected to my work at the United Nations, and Rwanda had signed a treaty granting those of us who work at the ICTR immunity, so that I knew that I was covered by that international agreement. I also knew that Bill Clinton had given Mr. Kagame an International Human Rights Award in
right.
November, that Tony Blair was a consultant for the Rwandan government and Mr. Kagame. MIT had given him an award. I knew that the elections were coming up, and I didn't imagine that the Rwandan state would expose themselves as being the military dictatorship that they are by doing what they did.
Well, we should point out, Paul Kagame appears to be very popular at home. And in fact, Rwanda is seen as a real African success story, a very vibrant economy. It really seems to be peaceful and prosperous in the years since the genocide. How do you explain his popularity at home and the fact that things seem to be going so well?
Well, I'm not sure that we're seeing the real situation. I think, in my view, Rwanda has what I call the Mzungu curtain, which is Mzungu is the East African word for white people. And I think
what do you mean?
Well, I think that that I got a chance to see behind the Mzungu curtain when I was arrested. I saw that there is nothing that happens in Rwanda that is not known by the secret police, that everyone connected to the RPF, that's the ruling party, carries an AK-47. There is no chance at all for disagreement. It's a country ruled at the point of a gun. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that there's peace, it's not because there's an agreement among the general population that the way the country is being governed is with the consent of the governed.
So would you consider going back to Rwanda?
I don't think I have to go back because the only reason I would go back is if I was called to go back because of the investigation. But the UN has already told me that I'm immune from prosecution there. So my lawyers have informed me that there's no need for me to go back.
Well, attorney Peter Erlander teaches at William Mitchell College of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's also a defense counsel for the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, the ICTR. Professor Erlander, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot.